This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Where faith matters. The Rev and the Rabbi. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Joseph Tasman.
And I'm Reverend A.R. Bernard.
And we have with us Elder David Butler.
That's right.
Joe, this is a
co-anchor.
Yeah.
Honor to be
does
here.
This mean one of us is out? I mean, I didn't want to break the news to you, Rev, but, you know.
Not likely.
You know, a lot of Christians
you're outnumbered today.
We're used to it. Trust me on this one. You can have all the diversity in the world. We're still not there. We have Pastor William Devlin, who, as you know, is a very, very special. He's a unique person.
That's a better word.
Yeah.
Unique.
You know, I remember saying to his wife once, he's never home. She says, so what's wrong with that? That's what keeps a marriage together when people are apart for a while. But Bill Devlin, you have traveled to more dangerous places than anyone I know. You just came back from Nigeria. Talk about why you went and what you saw.
Yeah, and thank you, Reverend Dr. A.R. Bernard, and thank you, Rabbi Joe Potastic, and Elder. And yeah, you're right. I've been doing this full time for 11 years now after God didn't send me out. He kicked me out of a great church in Manhattan. And I've been doing this full time for 11 years, 338 what I call God trips to 20 war zones. I do approximately 32 trips a year. So if you do the math, then you get 338. And my recent trip to Nigeria is just out of a heart of compassion for the Nigerian Christians in the north. The south of Nigeria is relatively quiet, but the north part of Nigeria, where the 12 states have implemented Sharia law over the years, I call it the killing fields of planet Earth. Nigeria is now the most dangerous place on planet Earth to be a Christian believer. And over the last 10 years, there's been upwards of 20,000 Christian believers that have been murdered. Now, if I may get graphic for a moment, Boko Haram, Islamic State, West Africa Province, and the Fulani jihadist herdsmen, this is not a battle between, as our U.S. State Department says, between herders and farmers. This is all about the Islamization of Nigeria. So I've been there now 15 times in the last 3 years. And every time we go and we meet with the victims, these are widows who have seen their husband and children beheaded. You know, Boko Haram says we don't waste our bullets on infidels, meaning the Christian believers. So they behead them or they hold them down and make the women and children drink antifreeze. Mm. And so then they die a terrible death a couple of days later. When I was there on Christmas Day, I was actually speaking at a church in northern Nigeria, in a place called Madala, Niger State, a bit north of Abuja, the federal capital. And while we were commemorating, I was speaking at St. Teresa's Catholic Church, while we were commemorating a suicide bombing from Boko Haram 12 years prior on Christmas Day 2012, we were basically weeping with the 1,000 members of that church who had lost 26 souls that day. One father that we had met with a couple of years ago lost all four of his daughters, a 23-year-old, two twin 17-year-olds, and a 13-year-old. While we were there, gentlemen, we didn't realize this, but just to our north and east, 2 hours, 200 Christian believers were being murdered on Christmas Day. So the jihadist Islamist terrorists know that Christmas Day and Easter, these churches are soft targets. They're generally unprotected. And even the Nigerian army had a 12-hour tip-off that this Boko Haram murderous regime was going to come in, and the army stood down. And then the army took 12 hours to get there. So we know, unfortunately, and I say this boldly, that the Nigerian government is in collusion with these Islamists and jihadists. And sadly, 2 years ago, the current U.S. administration dropped Nigeria as what's called a CPC, or a country of particular concern. And recently, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, which is a bipartisan congressional side of religious freedom, different than the Religious Freedom Office at the State Department, the Congressional Religious Freedom Office, made up of Dems and Republicans, they excoriated the recent report that Secretary Blinken and the U.S. State Department put out, saying that, well, Nigeria doesn't need to be on the country of particular concern. So this is killing fields in Nigeria. That's why I continue to go. We're in the process. I was donated 400. Our organization, widowsandorphans.info, was donated $400,000 of humanitarian supplies. We're actually negotiating with the World Food Program and the United Nations Humanitarian Air Service to get those goods over there to help the displaced people as a result of this invasion and this murderous
Right. I was just going to say, but this is not new. I was in Kano. Right. I was in Lagos. I was in Kaduna in the 90s. And I don't know if you remember, they were bombing the oil pipelines at the time. And we saw while we were there a strong movement of Islamic religion and that faith coming in. And supposedly Nigeria was a Christian nation. So here we are, you know, two, three decades later, and we're seeing either the same thing or I think there's a greater hostility.
There is a greater hostility, Reverend Dr. A.R. Bernard. And in fact, when Muhammad Buhari, the former president, when he left in May of 2023 after the election, and then Tinubu came in, the new president, over 400 Christians were murdered by machete, by forced drinking of antifreeze and some bullets, and burnings of homes and schools. They'll just put, 300 people in a church or a school and burn it down. Mm-hmm. That the Boko Haram said that was an outgoing present, as in a gift to the President Buhari that was outgoing. So 38 villages in Jos Plateau State, where you have been, Reverend Dr. A.R., and it's at a heightened level because the Islamists are in collusion with the government more so than any other time in the history of Nigeria.
Yeah.
And it's encroached down from the northern states of Sokoto and other of the Sharia law where it rules, and now it's continuing to march forward in this murderous path, this murderous juggernaut down into Abuja.
But how are the Christian churches responding? Because Nigerian has a strong Pentecostal, especially in charismatic Christian presence there. How are they responding to all this?
Well, and that's the ultimate question. Unfortunately, the Southern Nigerian church, which has mega churches, and it's just amazing how there's a church on every corner, as you know, Doctor, in Lagos and in other Southern Nigeria cities. There seems to be an obsolescence. It's like an ignorance of what's going on up north. Myself and my Northern Nigerian colleagues have met with these pastors, and we've pleaded with them and said, well, you've got to stand up for your Northern Nigerian sisters and brothers. And at this point, they refuse to do that because they say, well, we're okay. They're not going to come. And we appeal to them. If not us, then who? And if not now, then when? Mm. So there is an absolute, and it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, gentlemen, that the Southern Nigerian church is not paying any attention to the Northern Nigerian church. And by the way, there's no means of protection because it's illegal to own a gun in Nigeria. I've met with many of the legislators the senators and Congress people over there, and they say we're stymied because the right now the Nigerian Christians are protecting themselves with slingshots.
Reverend Devlin,
the
story you tell is compelling in that we're seeing, as we look back 30 years, that the changes have not occurred. This is Elder Buckner, and I just curious, as you've looked at this and the number of trips you've taken, I mean, 330, I mean, this is more boots on the ground, if you will, experience. As you look at this, is there, and I'm going to go above the transactional challenges, I want to look at people of faith and differences they can make. You've identified the people of the South, and the Christian followers there are not either not attentive to or not influencing the North. Here's my question. We're seeing in our own faith that Nigeria is growing exponentially. We're seeing Christians that are finding their faith. They're looking for a foothold in their faith. Do you see the potential for that to move further north and people of faith becoming more emboldened, more compassionate, more humanitarian? Or do you see that this is going to keep pushing from the north? The reason I'm asking is we were talking earlier about how religion has often been at the crux of at the center of war and conflict. Is there possibility that you see where hope and faith and religiosity, if you will, can actually overcome what's being seen in the horrific stories that you're sharing?
Great question. The northern Nigerians are fleeing out of northern Nigeria because there's absolutely no protection. A group that we work with, which is a nationwide Christian organization called CAN, Christian Association of Nigeria, they put out statements, but they're really not doing anything to advocate at the federal government level. So the movement is not south to north. The movement is north to south.
But what about faith? I mean, when I think about faith, and I'm not trying to simplify
yes.
it. But what about faith over transactional? When you talk about government,
yes.
you talk about, you know, transactional support. I can drop food loads of rice, but that doesn't solve for the hunger.
Right.
What are you seeing in terms of faith?
Yeah. Well, the northern Nigerian Christians have been emboldened. I mean, I've talked to people who have had men, a brother I'm thinking of now, Nathaniel, he had half his face blown off. I've met with women who have seen their husbands beheaded in their home, and then they're dragged out, and then their home is burned down. So their faith is strong, their faith is emboldened, and they are relentless in sharing the love of Jesus. And yet they also say, well, what future do I have in northern Nigeria?
So, Pastor Bill, because I don't want the opportunity to pass, you see what's going on in South Africa,
yes.
bringing Israel into the international court arena, accusation
yeah.
of genocide.
Right.
Right? Which I think is so unfair because Israel is defending its right to live as a Jewish state. Why isn't Nigeria being brought
yeah.
into an international court? Because of its decision to exterminate so many Christians.
Yeah, well, and by the way, in response to the elder as well, my passion is to go. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus didn't say stay and pray. He said go. Go into all the world and preach his message. So my passion 11 years ago is God gave me three words, God, gospel, good news. Take the first two letters of all three of those words and go. So I dropped everything. I rearranged my life. I went home and told Nancy and five kids and 12 grandkids. I said, I'm going over to the persecuted lands and places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, etc. So I think the important message that I want people to hear on the Reverend the Rabbi at WABC Radio today is we've got to go. The time has ended. The time has ended for people of faith in the West to just stay and pray and give money. We've got to go to these places. And the reason that Nigeria is not being before the International Criminal Court of Justice is because they have a lot of sway. They're the most populous nation in Africa, 230 million people, and they're a economic engine for really all of Africa. I mean, I've been there enough over the last 3.5 years that they are really the shining star of Africa, along with places like Kenya. But there is no reason for anyone to bring Nigeria up on charges because they're afraid that Nigeria may cut off any oil supply. So there's a lot of geopolitical machinations.
So much for morality and the law.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
do I understand something? When Christians are being brutally massacred, when Muslims are being brutally massacred very often by other Muslims, as we've seen in Syria, that doesn't get world attention.
Right.
Israel gets world attention.
Yeah.
I don't understand the disparity. There are more Christians than there are Jews. We can all agree on that. But what is it? Is it just the economic engine that's driving this kind of inequity?
Well, yeah, no question on the part of Nigeria. If Nigeria perhaps was some poor nation and their GDP was low, but it's amazing the economic engine that Nigeria is. So even our own administration, that's why they dropped the country of particular concern label, or even the there's another label called the special watch list. Nigeria is on none of them. But yeah, people come after Israel. And of course, my standard line, why are you going after Israel? Well, because the Jews are God's chosen people. That's exactly why they've been under attack for thousands of years. So and by the way, I've been to Israel, as you know, Rabbi, and gentlemen, 55 times.
I've more than Moses, 55 more than Moses.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't even get in.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's 55 more. Yeah.
But we understand that the role that Israel plays in geopolitics. I mean, they are the key ally for America in the Middle East. You know, we can't play that down. So whatever is going to happen with Israel is going to dominate the news cycle.
Yeah.
Now, even though 75% of religious persecution around the world is against Christians.
Yeah, but Pastor Devlin goes to Gaza and speaks about Israel. Am I right?
Certainly. In fact, I was just there on July.
And you're still 3rd. Here to talk about it. This is what amazes me.
Yeah, I'm still here to talk
about
it.
You're like Superman.
And, you know, sadly, I mean, think about this statistic. There are 1.5 million Christians from the U.S. that go to Israel every year, you know, predominantly, well, of every stripe, Catholic, evangelical, Protestant, you know, the Baptist, the saints and the ain'ts, and 1.5 million go. But out of that 1.5 million, how many go to Gaza? Only three, myself and a pastor from North Carolina and a pastor from Amman, Jordan. So there again is a case of going. We need to go. Hey, if you're concerned about the 1,000 Gazan Christians, the Arab Christians that have been there since antiquity, we're talking probably 60 A.D., there's a church that was built in 400 A.D. It's still there. People still worship. There's a Catholic church, a Greek Orthodox church, and a Baptist church. And I've been to Gaza 33 times ministering to the oppressed Christians there. And I also meet, as you said, Rabbi, I meet with Hamas. I've been meeting with Hamas since 2010. And I've been sharing the love of God, of Jesus, with them. And I've also said, look, Israel is not your problem. And by the way, there is no blockade in Gaza. People keep talking about a blockade. And those are the very people that have never been to Gaza. Yeah. I've been there at the southern end and the northern end. And when I exit Gaza, there are hundreds of Palestinian men and women going to Israel for jobs. There are Gazans on gurneys and wheelchairs that are going to Hadassah Hospital, Tel Aviv University Hospital. Guess what? For free medical care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pastor Bill, we got to stop you here because we come to the end of the segment. Next time you go to Gaza, I will drive you. I will go with you to the airport. After that, you're on your own. Let me just say, I know my limitations on this one. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's always, you know, it's a learning experience when we speak with you.
Yeah, always a pleasure having you on the program.
AndOrphans.info. People can see widowsandorphans.info. Wait,
say that again.
Thanks,
that again.
And God bless.
Wait, one more time. That website. That website. Widows and Orphans.
AndOrphans.info. And God bless you. Shalom, shalom, Baruch Hashem. We'll talk soon.
All right, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you. Stay tuned for more of the Rev and the Rabbi.
When you have Pastor Bill on the air, why do we have to be here? He can carry it on his own. He's good.
I'm trying to go to a break here. Okay? Stay tuned. We'll be back.